Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Economics and the Spiritual Path, hosted by David Axelrod with guidance from Dax. Each show expands on the language, ideas, and insights from economic thought that can empower and enlighten the journey through your inner environment toward healing, creativity, and spiritual expression.
Thank you for joining Economics and the Spiritual Path. If you would like to call in, the number is 646-564-9714. That's 646-564-9714. So tonight, the topics will be memory, imagination, and reality, and the nature of transforming reality. And as a reminder for those who have not heard any of these shows, we take an approach on the nature of spiritual expression, healing, and growth from an economic perspective. Amazingly enough, as for some people, economics has a very deep set of questions when it comes to the spiritual world. We don't frequently get into them because they tend to be very focused on the practical, material things in life. But, you know, you just move the stone a little bit and there's so much there. So let's get started then. So memory, imagination, and reality. Well, the way we're going to work with the concept of memory is memory is the matter that exists from what has been. So let me say that one again. Memory is the matter that exists from what has been. So matter, well, that could be our everyday concept of matter, you know, some kind of tangible physical form. And so if you were thinking about, let's say, memory in a computer, there is a physical object. And, you know, one of the reasons why it's called memory is that it brings what has been formatted in the past, what has been stored in the past, into the present and allows you to do something in the present and move it on to the future. However, matter doesn't have to be purely about a physical substance. Matter, in a more general sense, is whatever it is that matters. whatever is, can affect you in the moment. So it's possible that from one kind of perspective, if you're kind of looking at someone's the emotional or psychological states, the matter objects would be their emotions or feelings. If you're talking about the world of reason, then matter can be, you know, the thoughts that we have, or you know, the information that we have. And from a spiritual perspective, matter can be the intuitions that we have. So it may be useful to get a deeper sense of what matter is by considering what it is related to. So if memory is the matter that exists from what has been, then imagination is the space to imagine what might be. So I'll say those two one more. Memory is the matter that exists from what has been. Imagination is the space to imagine what might be. So the relationship between memory and imagination is similar to the relationship between matter and space. So matter, the capacity for matter to move, to change, to transform, to split up into components, to come together as a whole, all of that within a space. Where there is no space, there is no possibility for matter to change or transform. So memory is the matter that exists from what has been. Imagination is the space to imagine what might be. And if you've listened before, just as a side note, imagination is also, with a capital I, is another way of understanding the divine, sort of the great imagination of the universe as a whole. So the space to imagine what might be. Reality is the experience of space with matter. So this is where everything starts getting connected. The idea here is that it's not matter by itself which determines what we experience. It's matter in the context of the space it is embedded in. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a... So what we experience is that matter embedded in some kind of a space. So if you're talking about physical objects, physical reality is what is experienced when physical matter is in physical space. If we're talking about something more psychological, then reality is the experience of feelings and emotions in a space of awareness and consciousness. So another way of saying that, for those who are more mathematically inclined, would be that reality is equal to imagination times memory. Reality equals imagination times memory. So where there is no imagination, there is no reality. Where there is no memory, there is no reality. It takes both memory and imagination to have an experience of a reality. So with these terms, with these concepts, this becomes useful because if at some point you want to work with your reality, if there's some aspects about your reality that you want to change, it allows you to ask the question, where am I going to be more effective making my change? Am I going to be more effective in changing the matter of my reality, or am I going to be more effective in changing the space of my reality? Am I going to be more effective in changing the memory? Am I going to be more effective in changing imagination? All right, so how does this show up? Well, in order to change memory as matter, In everyday life, that's going to be the capacity to change what is physical in your world. And so, you know, if what your reality is you want a new home, then the question is, okay, are you better off, let's say, going out and buying a new home, so like a whole brand new physical structure in a new plot of land? Are you better off doing renovations, so you still have the same physical structure of the house, but now you're transforming it materially so that it is something new in a material world? Or are you better off reimagining what you have in the material world? And so if you don't have a lot of material resources, so if you don't have a lot of money, if you don't have a lot of wealth, if you don't have a lot of skills in carpentry, skills in electric wiring, all those kind of things that you would need to be able to do to physically change your house, you might be better off working on how you perceive, how you understand, how you imagine the meaningfulness of the material things in your life. So if you can't really do much to change your physical home, to change your external environment, then you work on your internal environment. Maybe you focus on different material aspects. So instead of focusing on the leaky faucet, maybe you focus on that window that lets in the light, at sunrise. It's just that one angle where you could see that beam of light coming in. Or I once had an apartment that had a high ceiling and had a window up in this corner, and at night, on certain months, I could turn the lights off, and the full moon, the beam of the full moon, would just come right through that light and actually shine a spot on the floor, and I could stand right under that light. And so I wasn't changing anything about the material aspects of it, but by changing the way I imagined the space, it became something a lot more than just a tall ceiling with a window way up there. It became a way to connect with the power of the full moon's light. So you work with your imagination if you don't have a lot to work with in the material world. On the flip side, the implication is, if you're not in a position to be able to change your imagination much, if maybe you're going through a lot of stressors and it's just not a lot of psychological resources to give you the space to redefine how or reset how you imagine the material world, but you do have some material resources to change physically what's going on around you, it would be more efficient to change the physical things around you than to work on the psychological things. So when you are in a moment when you're looking to cause some kind of transformation, it is useful to be clear about where you're going to be more effective. It would be more effective in changing the memory, changing the materials that are elements of your reality, or changing the space within which you imagine, what they mean. And so this relates to a couple of other important concepts. and this is getting very close to how this relates in the workaday world of economics. So one is this, that creation comes from imagination and production comes from memory. Creation comes from imagination and production comes from memory. So the idea of production comes from memory to be understood this way. When you create something, it is the first time it is coming into existence. That is the moment of creation. Something that comes into existence for the first time. Any other time after that, you are replicating it, whether it's a physical object, whether it's an experience, whether it's a service you might be providing. So after the first time, so the first time it's created, but after the first time, it is produced. And so the idea of production comes from memory means that there's something that is already there that you're reproducing. And that can still be extremely valuable because for some people, what it is that you're producing, that may be the first time that they're experiencing it, in which case there's a tremendous amount of meaning and usefulness for the first time that they're experiencing what it is that you're producing. Even though, because it's not the first time you've done it, it doesn't have that same meaning, that same experience of that moment of creation. So it's sort of like the first time you improv a piece of music and the idea for a song comes to you and you just, the first time you experience it is, it's a moment of creative inspiration and it's a wonderful experience, those moments of creativity. There's novelty, there's that feeling of something larger than yourself working through you. And so there's a valuable experience in creation in itself. However, if what you've created is something that is much more than just a moment for yourself, something that can be really useful for someone else, inventing the phone, for example, inventing the car, maybe some wonderful movie, and again, music. If you have a way to reproduce it, then it's something that other people can value as well, because now you're not the only one that's experiencing it. And this leads to the next economic insight, which is this. One pays to create, one gets paid to produce. So I'll say it again. One pays to create, one gets paid to produce. Okay, so what does this mean? Well, if creation comes from imagination, whoever is doing the creating, they are the one that has to bring the energy. They're bringing the creative energy. You cannot wait for some other energy to come to you and then be creative, because then you are no longer being the creative conduit. The experience will be of energy coming through you. Now, you may experience it coming from a higher power, absolutely, but it's coming through you. You're the one who's bringing that energy into the world. So whatever energy you're bringing into the world, that's what you're paying to create. That's the essence. That's the essence of economic exchange, is the exchange of energy. And in the financial world, that will be financial energy, either in terms of money or accounting inputs. things like that. Now, what does that mean? That means if you are going to be the creative, then the reasonable expectation is that you will be bringing the energy. Now, since you're the one who's bringing the energy, you're the one who's paying to create. You're paying the energy. You're paying the resources. You need imaginary resources and material sources in order for that creation to come from you. If you want to get paid, then, in other words, get money from some people, get resources from other people, it is useful to look at it as that you're producing something for them. All right? So if someone is paying you to write music, well, you're getting paid to produce a piece of music. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be creative in the process. You absolutely can be creative in the process. But it is useful to recognize that you are producing something for someone else. And so the more that you produce something that is valuable for other people, the more likely you are to get paid to do that. So one of the challenges of I find with many creative people is, you know, there's a very deep affinity and abidingness to being creative. It's very, very compelling. It's very satisfying. It's very uplifting. However, if you're always in the creative mode, if you're always coming from the motivation of being maximal creative all the time, you will find that after a while, people are not necessarily going to send resources your way. Because if it's about maximal creativity all the time, many of those times that's not going to be perceived as productive. Many of those times it will not be appreciated as being of value by other people. And to the extent that it's not valuable to other people, to the extent it's not an expression of their creativity, they're not going to send resources your way because, you know what, they have their own creativity that they want to express. So that's one of the economic insights around creativity and the creative spirit. You pay to create, you get paid to produce. Pay to be able to work with your imagination, you get paid to create memories for other people. Okay, so as a reminder, the guest call-in number is 646-564-9714. So let's take a little musical break right now, and I'll see you in about, or hear you in about 10 minutes. Thank you.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
We return to Economics and the Spiritual Path, hosted by David Axelrod.
Okay, welcome back. A little musical interlude there. That was a piece called Reincarnation from one of my albums. As Dax, the album is called Ethereal Life. Ethereal Life. Okay, for those who would like to call in, the number is 646-564-9714. Of course, that's assuming that you're listening while this is on air live. If you're listening streaming afterwards, I'm afraid if you call in, I will not be here to answer your call. So let us continue. So in the first part, we talked about the relationship between memory, imagination, and reality, that memory can be understood as the matter that exists from what has been. Imagination is the space to imagine what might be, and reality is the experience of space with matter. So what I'd like to talk about now is the nature of transforming reality within this context. So at the core of economic decision-making are constraints and preferences. So the constraints are either how the world limits us or how we limit ourselves, although you can also say it in a slightly different way, which is what we refer to as constraints are what is feasible. So what are the opportunities that the world around us are giving us? And one of the things we do is that we narrow them down based on what we find acceptable. You know, what are, you know, based on what is, you know, ethical, what is moral, or what commitments we've already made. So constraints, and within the constraints that we're working with, we apply what our preferences are, what we have as the more preferred outcome. So given the constraints we have, we choose the behavior or the experience that's most preferred. So how does this relate to what we were just talking about? Well, constraints are in essence the material, it is memory. So when we're dealing with reality, the constraints that we have has to deal with what matters, and what matters depends on what is our memory. So whatever we're holding on from the past, whether it's something good, whether it's bad, whether it's neutral, it's just, you know, a set of facts of what happens, whatever we hold, we continue to hold in memory, that is what we have to work with. That is what is, you know, gives us what's feasible or what's acceptable. It is the constraints that we have to work with from an economic sense. So if constraints are the material and memory, then preferences are the spiritual and imagination. So if you're transforming reality, you can either try to transform, to change your constraints, or you can change your preferences. As long as you can change either your constraints or your preferences, then that will lead to different behavior. First it will lead to different choices. Different choices lead to different behavior. Different behavior leads to different outcomes. And it's in having different outcomes that you have different realities. But even from a psychological standpoint, changing your constraints, well, that can be changing what it is that you find acceptable. You may have decided that it is unacceptable to eat ketchup on a hamburger. You know, maybe that's something you grew up with, you decided. And so you don't do that. Well, one day when you decide you want to kind of shake things up and change your reality a little bit, maybe it's as simple as, you know what, it's been a hamburger and you experience that. Or maybe you add a new constraint. So instead of, having hamburgers, you have veggie burgers. Well, that's going to change your reality a little bit. Maybe you decide that you're going to be more careful about recycling. Okay, that's another constraint that you could put into place. Now, changing preferences, that's the more subtle one, because that is about changing your most inner environment. And that kind of work is not always as simple as saying, okay, well, today I prefer this to that. Some people are capable of doing that. But sometimes that requires the type of work of repeating the experience enough until you change the meaning of things. And in the process of changing the meaning of things, you change what is preferred. But that's very deep spiritual work. Some people would say deep psychological work. And then there's a lot of overlay there. But from the economic standpoint, the question is, if you want to transform your reality, where are you going to get the best use of your resources, changing your constraints or changing your preferences? Now, in all of this, it is useful to keep in mind, if you're going to make these kind of changes, what are you going to be dealing with? So when you're changing constraints, changing constraints requires work in the material realm. Okay? So you're doing work in the material realm. And again, that could be the physical materiality. I mean, it could be work on feelings, emotions, or your thinking, but it's from the standpoint of the matter, your memory. And so changing constraints requires work in the material realm. Its side effect may be the experience of pain. So one of the ways that you know that you're working with the constraints in the world is that in the process of changing your constraints, you may experience pain. So how does this show up? Well, for example, let's say one of the things that you're trying to change is instead of being physically limited, you want to kind of, build your muscles up. You want to be able to carry heavy things. You want to have more stamina. If that's when you go to the gym. And what are you doing? You are literally trying to change the physical constraints of your body. Now, if that doesn't mean you can do that immediately, you do exercises, you push yourself, you have some rest, then you push yourself some more, and you just keep this pattern going. And over time, you develop, the muscles and the capacity to be able to lift heavier objects, to be able to have more endurance in doing your things. Maybe you can run faster. So you're changing your constraints, although it may take some time. But notice how, if it's in the material realm that way, that as you're pushing your capacities, that's when you can run into pain. You're pushing yourself against your boundaries, and anytime you push against the boundary, you have the potential for pain. So that is useful to keep in mind in terms of if you want to change the constraints of your world, whether it's the physical constraints of your body or moving furniture in your home or changing where you work or what kind of work you do, you are likely at some point to experience some kind of pain. It could be physical pain. It could be emotional pain. It could be the pain of cognitive dissonance. I'm not, trying to have two competing thoughts in your head at the same time. Intuitive pain, it's a challenge. That's a potential side effect of trying to change your constraints. In terms of changing preferences, that requires work in the spiritual realm. Because there, you're not changing what your limits are, either the limits that the world places on you or the limits you place on yourself. There, you're changing what are your preferred outcomes. It may be as simple as changing the goals that you have for yourself. On the other hand, if you're literally trying to change the things that you prefer about life, again, that's not likely to be something that you can do immediately, but you may attempt to go through a series of experiences where all of a sudden the meaningfulness of things change, and then your preferences do change. But that's all work in the spiritual realm, so it's not so obvious. And whereas the changing constraints requires work, changing constraints has a potential side effect of experiencing pain, changing preferences has a potential side effect of experiencing doubt. Okay. It's doubt because the process of changing your preferences, you are no longer sure what it is that you prefer. What are your goals? What is it that you want to achieve? What is your highest calling? Because if you're changing those preferences, then you're not quite sure what they are. And that's where you could have the experience of doubt. So when you want to do work in the material realm, you have to be prepared to experience pain. If you're doing work in the spiritual realm, you have to be ready to experience doubt. Because the more that you push yourself, that's more likely you're going to have those side effect techie experiences. So what does that mean? Again, tying it into the economics, you can kind of imagine that you have a certain amount of psychological energy. It could be a lot, it could be a little, but it's not an infinite amount. And so whatever you're trying to do, and in this case we're talking about transforming reality, you have only so much energy with which to handle these changes you're trying to bring in your life. So, again, what does this mean? If you're already dealing with a lot of pain in your life, if you're overwhelmed with a lot of pain, well, doing work in the material realm may not be the the best way of going around it. If you're already dealing with a lot of pain and you're reaching your kind of the limits in your capacity to handle pain, if you're going to try to do transformation in the material realm, you're likely to go past your capacity to handle pain, and you could have some kind of a breakdown. And that is going to hinder your capacity to make transformation, because then you'll have to go through some kind of healing period. And that's a topic we're going to talk about next week, growing, healing, and transformation. So if you're already experiencing a lot of pain in your life, then doing a lot of change on constraints, a lot of that kind of work in the material realm, that may not be the best way to go. You may be better off doing changes of preferences to do this spiritual work in your life. On the flip side, if you're not experiencing a lot of pain in your life or experiencing no pain in your life, but you're experiencing a lot of doubt, a lot of confusion, and you're kind of running close to your limits on your capacity to get to carry doubt in your mind, that is probably not the time to do the work of changing preferences. That's not necessarily the time to do the deep spiritual work. There, you are probably better off doing more material work. So a way of understanding that is, if you have a lot of doubt in your life, you don't want to increase it by creating confusion about, you know, which way should you go, right? That just drives the doubt, you know, meters to maximum beyond. So if you're doing something in the material realm, that has the advantage of kind of focusing things, right? It's going to be something that's more tangible. It's something that you can, there may be a resistance to it, but you're aware of it, okay? It's there. And because it has that quality of being there, in many ways kind of helps take away your focus on doubt in your life, because there's something tangible that you can hold on to. You know, even if it's, you know, it's a challenge to work with, it's still there. So the idea here then is, if you're looking to transform your reality, is be clear about, you know, the paths to transformation you can go. You can go through the material realm, in which you're trying to change the constraints in your life, or you can go through the spiritual realm, in which you're going to attempt to change the preferences with which you make decisions and choices. If you're going through the material realm, some of the quest there is going to be the experience of pain. If you're going through the spiritual realm, some of the quest there may be the experience of doubt. And this is where you need to be able to take an inventory of where you are. So this is where mindfulness becomes extremely important, is to not, you know, not to pretend that you're not in pain. Okay, or let me say it again. You want to avoid pretending you're not in pain when you have a lot of pain. You don't want to pretend that you're certain when, in fact, you have a lot of doubt. Right? Because if you pretend that you're not in pain when you have a lot of pain, and then you try to do work in the material realm, you're more likely to overload yourself and create an injury, and then instead of being able to grow, you have to focus on healing. Likewise, if in fact you're deeply in doubt, you have lots of doubt in your life, the subtlety of the spiritual work, you know, working with preferences, that may only increase your level of doubt. And again, you can trigger an injury in the spiritual realm. And when that happens, then you end up having to do a lot of time doing spiritual healing, which just means that you don't have that energy available to grow your spirit. And the one other thought that gets along with all this that is, what happens when you are already full of a lot of pain and you're full of a lot of doubt? Well, that's the kind of moment where you may not have the resources available to change a lot about your reality. And so what happens? You have to go through the experience of the pain and the doubt, and you just keep going until you know something clears up, till you start creating some space. You know, you get to a point where maybe some pain has receded or some of doubt has receded, and then wherever that has removed first, that's where you can start trying to put energies towards transforming your reality. Of course, if things are, you know, life is going really well and there's no pain, you don't have any pain, you're not really being challenged by your constraints. If you don't have any doubt, you've got, you know, you're clear about your preferences. Well, if you've got no pain and you've got no doubt in your life, then the question is, why are you transforming your reality? Well, you know, if it's for creative purposes, you know, to help grow yourself, that can be pretty wonderful. But that's useful to ask. You know, what is driving your desire to transform reality? And then, from there, being clear about where you're going to be most effective in transforming reality, and there you have to take the inventory of what are the pains you're dealing with, what are the doubts you're dealing with, what are the constraints in your life that you have to work with. If those can be changed, do you have the room to change them? What are your preferences? What are your goals? You know, do you have the spiritual wherewithal to change those? Okay, so I think we'll be wrapping up for today. So again, the topics for today were memory, imagination, and reality. Memory is the matter that exists from what has been. Imagination is the space to imagine what might be. Reality is the experience of space with matter. Reality is equal to imagination times memory. Creation comes from imagination. Production comes from memory. And one pays to create. One gets paid to produce. And in terms of transforming reality, there are constraints, which is at the material realm and deals with memory. Then there is preferences, which is in the spiritual realm and deals with imagination. We transform reality by changing our constraints and our preferences. Changing constraints requires work in the material realm, and its side effect may be the experience. Preferences requires work at the spiritual realm, and its side effect may be the experience of doubt. So that's it for tonight. Next week we will have the topics growing, healing, and transformation, and the healing growing cycle. So if you're dealing with some form of healing in your life, you might find this one particularly useful. So, tonight, good night from Economics and the Spiritual Path. This has been David Axrod. I hope to hear from you next week. Many blessings to you, and enjoy the coming solstice.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.